ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय The next name in Vishnu Sahasranama that I'm going to speak on is name 553, Ajita. I think you can all understand the meaning of this name. It means he who has never been defeated. So that implies that he's also Ajaya. He is undefeatable. During the course of speaking on these thousand names of Vishnu, I've several times said that, well, this name is very important, referring to several names. Certain names are very important. Of course, the most important name is the name which comes next. Which name is that? Krishna, yeah. Krishna is the next name. But some names, they apply to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they can apply to others also. Just like the next name after Krishna is Durha, which means firm, and you probably don't have to say that in Telugu because it's the same word, right? So that can be said about others also. But Ajit is a name which defines the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is only applicable to him. Actually, it's also applicable to his devotees because they, by his grace, they partake in the same nature as him. But intrinsically, he is the one who is never defeated. And this name is very important. It appears many times in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Supreme Lord is referred to as Ajita. It's very important because if he's not unconquerable, then he's not the Supreme Lord. And then what's the point of, we're supposed to be taking shelter of him and taking, having full faith in him that he will protect us. But if he's, it means he's all powerful, no one can overcome him. So if there's someone or some force or energy that can overcome him, then he's not, as I was discussing just in one of the previous lectures, he's not Sharanya. He's not the one in whom we can take shelter. We take shelter of someone, but they can't protect you, then what's the point? Then it's useless. It doesn't serve the purpose. So in this way, Krishna is Ajita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and practically all the Srimad Bhagavatam, in all the Leelas, this can be applied to all the avatars, practically all the stories therein. Of course, they're not stories in the sense of time past stories, but they are narrations of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. They all demonstrate how the Supreme Lord is Sharanya, the one who we should take shelter of. He is the one in whom we should take shelter because he cannot be conquered in any way. So it's very important to understand this. And it's also an essential name in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, because after establishing that he is undefeated, undefeatable, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes us to the position of how we can defeat him. I'll get back to that later. How he's so inclined to his devotees that he likes to be overcome by them. So I'll get back to that a little later. unconquered and unconquerable. These the meaning that we see in all the different pastimes of the Lord. He's unconquered and unconquerable. He's Ram, Narasimha, Varaha. They're all forms of the Lord who fight with terrible demons who are not possible to overcome by others. It just reminds me of one thing. So many things. He's Ananta. There's so many qualities. So I just, one thing I was going to write on it. Demons. Not demons. Get mukti, but not quite. Okay, I'll write about that, Krishna willing, a little later. Ajit is also the name of the Vaikuntha worlds. So he's the Lord of the, because that's also, just like Ayodhya is the, means it's not overcome, not overcomable. So in the same meaning applies to Vaikuntha. The demons, they sometimes go up and take over their heavenly planets. Bali Maharaj, as described in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam, how he conquered the heavenly planets. But there's no conquering Vaikuntha. Even the Vaikuntha within this world, which is the Dhruva, place of Dhruva, he's overseeing that. But that's also not overcomable, not surmountable by the by anyone. You can be allowed in, but you can't force your way in. Entry by invitation only. Now, also described in the Bhagavatam is there's a, apart from being a general name of the Supreme Lord and a particular quality of his that defines him as the Supreme Lord, there is also the name of one specific avatar who appeared during the churning of the milk ocean and took the form of Kurma. He's unconquered. That means no weapons, no armies can overcome him. He can do everything by himself. Rama took the help of a monkey army. He could have done everything himself, but he appeared as if a human being in need of help to give service to his devotees and to make the pastimes more interesting and relishable. If he, otherwise, there wouldn't be so much to report. The struggle, how the devotees dedicate themselves in the struggle to find Sita, to overcome Lanka. So he's not overcomable by any weapons or persons, but in his pastimes he appears to be almost so. That, but actually no one can overcome him. In the Christian and Islamic faiths, maybe in Judaism also, I'm not sure. I don't think so, not there. They have the idea of Satan, the devil, who God's always fighting with him, and it's they're almost on the same level. This is a nonsense idea. There's no one who's anywhere near on the same level as he. So he's not overcome or overcomable by any weapons, by any armies, by any person. He's also not overcomable by that by which everyone in this material world is overcome by, which is lust. He's Ajitendriya. His senses are not overcome. Even from the material point of view, it might appear that someone is undefeatable. Recently, the long-time leader, political leader of a small and not very important island off the coast of the United States, Cuba. He died. Fidel Castro. And news came out that the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, is some organization of the United States. I don't know if it's under the government or what. It's like a bunch of bandits or something. They had tried to kill him 300 times, more than 300 times. And every time they failed. He must have had some kind of karma that he wasn't going to be. He died a natural death, what's called a natural death. But he was ultimately conquered by death. Mrityu sarvaharashchaham, by Krishna. Krishna got him in the end. The CIA couldn't get him, but Krishna got him. One of my godbrothers told me some years ago, he'd read something about Napoleon. If you know about the history of the Western world, Napoleon is a very important figure. Actually, not really very important, but from the material point of view, very important. He was a great conqueror. He led the armies of France. And it seemed to him and everyone else that he was unconquerable. So what often happens with people, they become powerful, they become overconfident. Just like a gang of thieves, they're so expert at making their robberies. They're so expert at doing it in such a way they don't get caught. But they don't get caught so many times because they're so expert. And then they think, then they become less careful. Because they think the police, they're never going to catch us. And when they become less careful, then they get caught. So this Napoleon, this devotee, told me that it was described at the Battle of Waterloo, in which his armies were overcome by the armies of Britain. And Napoleon was wandering around on the battlefield looking like a ghost, or he couldn't believe what was going on. He'd never had that experience of being defeated. And he was defeated. But actually, whether you're a Napoleon or a Fidel Castro, everyone is defeated. They're all overcome by their senses. Everyone is overcome by birth, death, old age, and disease. But he's not overcome. He's Jitendriya. He has conquered himself, has conquered the senses. He's conquered over the senses. And not exactly, because it's not that he's impelled by the senses for sense enjoyment. But it means that they're totally under his control. He has no desire to engage in petty sense gratification like an ordinary person. Of course, he has senses. He's not insentient. But he engages his senses, everything he does, for the pleasure of his devotees. Now, there is one of the demigods who could also be called Ajit. Can you think who that is? Devendra, Indra. Well, Krishna overcame him, but not even by fighting him, by holding up a hill. And then, but he also, the demigods themselves, there comes a point where they don't even want to fight. And they have to call Vishnu because they think, we can't do this. Indra was overcome by Bali. Devendra means... So who is that demigod? He overcomes everyone. Who is that? Kamadev. little, looks like a little boy, but he overcomes everyone. Everyone in this world is overcome by him. One narration from the Bhagavatam, one of my favorite narrations, I've said it quite often, that Nara Narayan Rishi, although he's the supreme enjoyer, Narayan Rishi takes the role of a tapasvi, a renunciant, or a performing austerities, just to show the path to others. So there must be some kind of pleasure in that also, because he finds pleasure in being like that. So Indra, as usual, becomes afraid. Oh, now someone's getting there, building up so much punya, they're going to overtake my position. So a usual thing, when there's some powerful rishi, he sends some beautiful girls from the heavenly planets to tempt them. Indra thinks that they must be performing these austerities so they can go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. So I'll send some beautiful girl, then they can enjoy there. Then they may think, why should I bother doing all this austerity? I can enjoy now. And then their vow will be broken, and then they won't come and bother me, Indra thinks. So Indra sends Kamadev himself with so many beautiful girls and the spring season personified, which is supposed to be very incites lust, and so it's girls singing nicely, dancing with nice ankle bells, all the paraphernalia to incite a rishi. And then Kamadev comes with his and about to shoot. And then Narayan Rishi says, oh, hello, Kamadev. Ah, you like beautiful girls, do you? And then from his own Shakti, he produces so many beautiful girls, every one of them far more beautiful than those that Indra can send. You like beautiful girls? You can take one of mine. I don't want any of yours. So he defeated. Kritakandarpa is another name, who is defeated by his, just by ignoring him, just by considering him just completely. It's not like he's brahmacharya, holding his breath and keeping his eyes I'm going to engage my senses, I'm going to control my senses. Not like that. Just nonchalantly. Yes. Oh, okay. Pretty girls. Yeah, I got plenty of them. No, there's no interest. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a confectioner. Modaka, I think the word might be in your language. He makes sweets, so many sweets, and people go past the shop. They walk past the shop and then they walk back and go in the shop because... So many nice sweets. In Bengal, you get so many sweet shops. Everywhere, all over India. So they're selling sweets. But the maker of the sweets, he himself has no particular interest because he's surrounded by it all the time. So it's not that you might think, well, I'll become a sweet maker, then I can eat sweets all day. But it becomes non-tempting. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord, he has no tendency toward mundane sense gratification. He's in the position of total self-control, total self-discipline. What the rishis, they're trying for. He's got it automatically. He can't be tempted by any position. We'll make you the king. He's already the king of all the millions of planets. He can't be tempted by any wealth. He already owns everything. He can't be tempted. What people in this world, they're mad after. People will kill others for the sake of position, power, prestige. He's already got it all. So He's not tempted by it. So, devotees who take shelter of him, this is the real meaning of taking shelter in him, is not that he will protect us while we go on with our plans for building up our power and position and money and prestige. But really taking shelter in him means that we become so much absorbed in desiring to please him that we have no desire for any power, position, prestige, wealth, or any such thing. So a devotee also becomes ajit, becomes unconquerable. He's not interested in any such things for himself. He might accept for the service of the Lord, but he has no interest in all these things. Srila Prabhupada comments in a Bhagavatam purport that he is unconquerable by knowledge also. That means if we think that I will study so much, I will learn so much, and in this way I will understand God. No, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. He reveals himself to those who he wants to reveal himself to. Of course, it's not that we shouldn't try to learn about him. But the attitude of thinking that I will understand by my own intelligence and learning, that's a wrong understanding. Oh, I should just make a note. Baladev Vidyabhushan also. He gives the meaning. Ajita means invincible. I forgot to give his meaning for Svanga, the previous name. He is the original teacher of Vedic knowledge. I don't know what's the linguistic derivation of that. So, Ajita, he's unconquerable. Right? That should be understood. That's the meaning of his being God. Can't be conquered. No one at any time, anywhere, can conquer him. So as I said, this name comes up often in Srimad Bhagavatam. Probably the most famous verse with the name Ajita in, at least among the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It's an essential verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, essential for the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane stita shutikatang tanuvang manobhya ye prayaso jitatitopi apitai striloka. This is from Brahma's prayers to Krishna after Brahma had been defeated by Krishna. Brahma thought he was the most powerful. He thought he would... He didn't even think he would conquer Krishna. He thought Krishna is just some little boy. And so Brahma stole his Krishna's calves and Krishna's friends and thought... I put Krishna in a fix. I put Krishna in trouble. And Brahma came back one moment later because he thought, well, maybe that wasn't such a good idea after all. Maybe he is Narayana, in which case I'm in trouble. So he came back a moment later, which was a year by worldly time, because long before Einstein came up with his relativity theories, then it's understood from Shastra that time moves differently according to the place that you're at. So Brahma's one moment is a year on the earth. He came back a year later and found Krishna is still playing with his cows and calves as if they hadn't been kidnapped by Brahma. Then Brahma, he wondered, what's going on? And then Krishna showed to him that all these cows and cowherd boys, they're all expansions of himself. He had expanded himself into these forms. And they're all being worshipped by millions of Brahmas and Shivas and Indras and demigods. So then Brahma became a little humble himself. And he spoke this verse, which is pivotal. It's the entrance into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's understanding. It's the entrance, and within one verse it gives the entrance and the highest stage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. So giving up the endeavor to understand Krishna by one's own intelligence, one should become humble. Brahma himself became humble. After he became humbled, there's a difference between becoming humble and becoming humbled. I don't know if the difference is there in Telugu language, but he became humbled by Krishna. Krishna caused him to become humble by showing that Krishna himself is so much more powerful than Brahma, beyond the imagination of Brahma. So Brahma himself understood, this is the way to understand you, Krishna. Gyane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. One should pass one's life hearing from proper devotees topics about Krishna, remaining in one's position. That generally means within the varnashram system. One should dedicate oneself, mind, body, and words, in the service of Krishna. And in this way, Ajita, he who is unconquerable, becomes conquered. Oh, whoops, what's the meaning then of Ajita? One can conquer him by bhakti. Then he's not Ajita. So then this name, we have to leave it out of the Vishnu Sahasranam. We just leave a blank. How does verse go? Vedasvanga-svanga-jita Krishna. So you have to, Vedasvanga, leave a space, Krishna. You have to leave it out. No, he's Ajita. But he's also Jita. That's Krishna. Whatever he is, he isn't also. He's everything imaginable, everything unimaginable, and everything in between. And everything beyond that also. Sounds a bit like Buddhist idea, isn't it? But you can't say it is, you can't say it isn't, you can't say it both is and isn't, and you can't say it neither is or isn't, and what are you talking about? It's Krishna. That's what they missed. They say it's inexpressible. It's Krishna. Krishna is that one who is avang manasa gochara. He's not describable by words, not attainable by mental effort. But he is conquered. He agrees to be conquered by his devotees. He's got all power, prestige, wealth, beauty, everything that anyone could want, but he wants the love of his devotees. He wants their love. And he submits himself to that love. Otherwise, if there's a great difference between two people, there can't be a proper relationship. That's why in the marriage matching, you have to see that husband and wife, they come from a similar kind of background. Not that one is very rich and one is very poor. Especially the wife should not come from a more rich background than the husband, and physically should be at least a little shorter, and age-wise should be, but not very much. They should be more or less the same. Wife should be a little bit less in every way, but more or less the same kind of background. Otherwise it doesn't work. This Drupada and Drona, which way round are we going now? Because Drona, wait. Drupad was the king, and Drona was so they were studying together in the Gurukul, but then one became a rich king and one became a poor Brahmin, and then I can't be friends with you. You're less than me. So that's that's the rule of the world. So Krishna wants the love of everyone, then he has to become less than them or equal with them. He likes to be defeated by his devotees. Srila Prabhupada explained that when he comes to fight, of course, when he fights, he may fight with so many armies, just like Jarasandha's armies. He just annihilated them all very quickly by himself. But when he wants a good fight, then he has to have a good opponent. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a king, he keeps a wrestler or to fight with, because a king means he should be very strong body and able to physically fight. So he keeps wrestlers. Now the wrestler is not on the level of a king. He doesn't have the power and the prestige. But when it comes to fighting, the wrestler has to do his service to the king properly. That means he doesn't say, oh no, I'm not going to fight with, I'll be careful with you because you're the king. No, the wrestler goes fully in and tries to defeat the king. It's a dangerous job because the king might get it. It's the same like being the jester. He's the only one who can make jokes at the king. But if the king gets upset, he might lose his head. But the wrestler, he has to fight with full strength. Otherwise, the king can't get the pleasure that he wants to have the pleasure of fighting with a good opponent. So in the same way, Krishna, he has some of his devotees and he empowers them to become demons so they can give him a good fight and he can kill them. So most famous are Jayan Vijay, who became Ravana and Kumbhakarna, then Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, then Shishupal and Dantavakra. They gave Krishna good fight. Some of the demons, they're very powerful. They're not described as being devotees previously. Kala Nemi is big, just an example like that. Srila Prabhupada explains here in a Bhagavatam purport, the Supreme Lord cannot have any enemy. How is that? Everyone in this material... Enemy means you're against someone. So in this material world, everyone is forgetting Krishna, and some of them are actually very inimical to him, atheistic people. But he can't have an enemy in the sense that he's Ajit, he's unconquerable, so it's just like you can't, just like this little boy there, you can't say, he's my enemy. He's my enemy. I'm lying awake at night thinking, oh, this little boy, he's... He's too insignificant. He doesn't have the... Even if he doesn't like you, or at that age, boys start to dislike each other. But he can't harm you in any way. He's too insignificant. So the Supreme Lord can't have any enemy because everyone's insignificant in relationship with him. So, as Srila Prabhupada says, I'll go back. The Supreme Lord cannot have any enemy, nor can a so-called enemy harm him, because he is ajita, or unconquerable. But still he takes pleasure when his pure devotee beats him like an enemy. He takes pleasure when Hiranyaksha beats him with a club. That's all in the pleasure of fighting. Or, Srila Prabhupada continues, rebukes him from a superior position, although no one can be superior to the Lord. So that's his pleasure. He takes pleasure in being dominated by his devotees. He's ajita, but he becomes jitta. This is also explained in a less known verse in which Chitraketu says, the verse begins with the word ajita. So he addresses the Supreme Lord as ajita. And then he goes on to say, ajita jita samamati bhi sadhu bhir bhavan jita atma bhir bhavata vijitaste pi cha bhajatam akam atma nang ya atma doti karunaha. So he says that your name is ajita, you're unconquerable, which you can't be conquered by anyone, but you are conquered by devotees who are samamati. That means this concept of samatha is very prominent in the first few chapters of Bhagavad Gita and throughout Bhagavad Gita. One person who is not affected by anything material. He's labha labha jaya jayo, in gain or loss, in victory or defeat, shitoshna, sukha dukha, in heat and cold, in happiness and distress, he's the same. Means he has no material affinity. Sukheshu vigata sprihaha. How does that begin? Vitaragabaya krodha. Sukheshu vigata spriha, dukheshu vigata spriha. Sukheshu vigata spriha, dukheshvanud vignamana. That's it. One who is not disturbed in misery and who is not elated in happiness. He remains the same. The great example is Ramachandra Bhagavan. He's called, now you'll be the king. You'll be crowned tomorrow. All right. Next day, call back. Now you're not going to be the king. Okay. You have to go to the forest for 14 years. Okay. Whatever you say. All the same to him. So someone who is so detached from this material world, he's overcome. Devotees who have conquered the mind and senses, they keep him under control. How? How does it work? How can a devotee conquer him by the word is given here, ati karuna, by his immense mercy? Seeing them, that they have no interest in this world, they're only interested in serving him, he gives himself to them. The devotee gives himself to Krishna, and Krishna gives himself to them. That means that to take shelter in someone means to come under their control. But reciprocally, he comes under the control of the devotee. He becomes controlled by them. Now, there's another very nice narration, which I've told several times, and I like to say it again and again, because it's such a sweet narration. The unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of his names is Pitavasa, he who has yellow cloth. So once Prahlad, this was after this little boy, he's grown up, he's king. He once went on a pilgrimage to Naimisharanya to see Pitavasa, the Supreme Lord dressed in yellow garments. While traveling along the road, he saw someone who looked very strange. Why is that? Because he had the dress of a sannyasi or a renunciant, but he was carrying the bows and arrows of a kshatriya. Now that's bogus. You can't be a renunciant and have bows and arrows. That's again Rama in the forest. Sometimes people say, what's going on here? Is he a rishi or a kshatriya? You can't be both. They're a little surprised at that. But he was dressed as a rishi on the order of Kaikeyi, and he was a kshatriya. So he was there to protect the rishis. So Prahlad saw that he must be some kind of hypocrite, some kind of bogus sannyasi. You can't be both. You can't be a brahmana and a kshatriya. So you can't be a sannyasi and have bows and arrows and sword and all these. So therefore, Prahlad, because he's the king and he's supposed to uphold Varnashram, he said, I'm going to finish you off. I vow that I will defeat you. Defeat Jitta. I'm going to defeat you. But surprisingly, Prahlad found that even after several days of fighting, he couldn't defeat him. So during the night then they would rest, and the day fight. So one morning before the fight was about to resume, Prahlad did his usual morning sadhana. He was worshipping his deity, and he offered a garland to the deity, and then he turned around and saw that that bogus sannyasi is standing next to him wearing the same garland that he just put on the deity. Then he understood, this is actually Narayan I'm fighting with. I've been fighting with him. Oh no, what can I do? Then he offered prayers and said, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you were God. And the Lord said, that's all right. And he just touched him, and by his touch he took away all the fatigue from the fighting and all the anxiety. And then Prahlad said, well, okay, now I understand that you're Narayan and I can't defeat you and I shouldn't have fought with you, but I didn't understand. But I made a vow that I would defeat you, and now what am I going to do, because I can't defeat you because you're undefeatable. And the Lord said, my dear Prahlad, I'm always defeated by you. He's defeated by his love. By the love of Prahlad, Narayana, who's in the Vaikuntha world, he has to come down to Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu asks, is your God in this pillar? Yes. Now, normally you won't expect to find God manifest in a pillar. But because Prahlad said so, then the Supreme Lord had to appear in that pillar. He said, I'm always defeated from him. There are many, many examples, and the fact that he who is undefeatable becomes defeated by the devotee is the very sweetness of his nature, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Madhurya Bhagavatasa, the essence of God is not his undefeatableness, but his defeatableness, his sweetness. There are many examples of this. Bilva Mangal Thakur, blind man, self-blinded in the jungle of Vrindavan. Some little boy comes and helps him and plays with him. And he can't see who is that boy. Some little boy is helping an elderly man, a sadhu. So that's expected, that old man, a sadhu, young boy may come and help him in various ways. But he also starts playing with him and teasing this old sadhu. And then eventually Bilva Mangal understands, he has a vision, although he's blind, that this is actually Krishna himself. And he tries to catch Krishna. Krishna runs away. And Bilva Mangal tells him that you can escape from my hand, but you cannot escape from my heart. He's captured within the heart. He's conquered within the heart. The most famous example of all is that of the unconquerable, invincible Supreme Lord being captured, tied up by Mother Yashoda. pranayarasanaya. This is described by Shukadev Goswami. He is tied up by the ropes of devotion. Therefore, we worship the devotees more than Krishna. We want to worship the most powerful. Krishna is the most powerful. He's Ajita, he's unconquered. But he who can conquer him, they should be worshipped because they can give Krishna. Krishna is their property. Therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking with one Raghupati Upadhyay, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was putting questions to him. One of his questions is that, well, who is the most worshipable? And the answer came, Raghupati Upadhyay. He gave all these the different questions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked to him. And Raghupati Upadhyay would reply with various verses. So the reply, who should be worshipped? I can hardly see. I've got something in my eye. Shrutim apare, smritim itare, bharatamanye, bhajantu bhavabhitam, bhavabhitaha, aham iha nandang vande yasyalinde parang brahma. He says that some people worship the Shrutis, some people worship the Smritis, the various Vedas, some people follow give great value to the Mahabharata. They all do so due to fear of material existence, of repeated birth and death. But he says, I in this world, here, I worship Nanda. No, he didn't say Krishna. Why? Because that Param Brahma, the Supreme Truth, Krishna, is playing in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So this Jnane Prayasam, how giving up the endeavor to know Krishna, to capture Krishna within the cage of our mental concoctions. Of course, we should try to understand Krishna, but understand him from the devotees in a humble mood. This is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which in one verse takes us from the very entrance of actual spiritual life, of becoming humble and understanding, I can't understand everything about Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimad Bhagavatam states, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this verse as the entrance into devotional life. But it also brings us up to the highest, it shows us the pathway to the highest stage where we can conquer Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to say that the Mayavadis, they want to become one with God. And Prabhupada said, why do you want to become equal with God? And anyway, that's a silly idea. You can become equal with God because he's Ajita. No one can be equal to. But he said, Srila Prabhupada said, the devotees, they become more than God. They become more. Mother Yashoda is more than Krishna. When she chastises him, she holds a stick, she twists his ear. And he says, he's crying because he's afraid of the stick. What is that verse in Damodar Ashtakam? He's afraid of Mother Yashoda's stick. Vedanta Moho Netra Yomam Raja, he's rubbing his head. Karamboja Yoga. He's afraid. He's the supreme, unconquerable. And he's afraid of Mother Yashoda. So that stage where the devotee conquers Krishna by love, it's not that we think. But a devotee has a completely different motive. His motive is not that I'm going to become stronger than God. He simply wants to serve, and then when that motive of service becomes more and more and more intense, then it becomes love. And by that love, his heart is conquered. In other sampradayas also that idea is there. In Kanchipuram, there's the deity Yatoktakari, the Supreme Lord who follows the order of his devotee. So that understanding or that concept is there, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it central or made it the essence of his teaching. It's not an exception. It is the aim and purpose and end to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly wants to give to the world the prema, love of Krishna, of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, where knowledge of Krishna's opulence, among his opulences, ajita, being undefeatable. That's a major one of his opulences. But where his opulences, they're not known, even if they're somewhat known, they're not considered very important. For instance, Uddhava sent by Krishna to console the Vrajavasis, and because Krishna is in Mathura, the Vrajavasis are lamenting that now we can't see Krishna. Uddhava goes and he tells Nanda Maharaj how actually Krishna is the supreme Brahman and the supreme Lord. No one can understand. And Nanda and Yashoda are looking at him, what's he talking about? He's our son. He doesn't know. This Uddhava, he doesn't know what he's talking about. What Uddhava said is absolutely true. It's the highest level of understanding. Bahunam janmanaman de gyanavang man prapat. After many, many lifetimes, one may come to it. And Nandir and Shavu. What's he? He's studied too much. Anyway, maybe he's correct, but we can't understand it. What do we understand? We're just cowherd people. We don't understand all this philosophy. Where's our Krishna? You're telling us about Krishna, Supreme Brahman. He's in our hearts, but we want him here. Now, I want to feed him my breast milk. Mother Yashoda, he's in my heart. I don't want him in my heart. I want him here. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. So this name gives us a little clue of that, gives us some idea of that. So Hare Krishna, is there any question, please, or comment about all this? Yeah. Mura demon defeated Krishna? No. Got what? When the fighting was going on, he got tired. He made him. When Varaha was fighting with Hiranyaksha, then Hiranyaksha also knocked the club out of the hand of, or the hoof of Varaha. So it may appear, that's fighting. If fighting is just going like that, then it's not fighting. It's a struggle. That's the pleasure. He wasn't defeated. This name, Aparajita, is a famous name of Durga Devi. Within this material world, no one can defeat her. She also kills demons. That name comes up in Bhagavad Gita, the describing the kings. But it's only said, it's not true. They all got defeated. They may not have been defeated prior to that. But eventually they got to fit his. Yeah. Ekadashi was born because the Lord got defeated by a demon. I don't know this. We read the Vaishnava Shastra. There may be so many things in Shastra. Some things are put there to bewilder people also. Therefore we study Srimad Bhagavatam. It may be in some Shastra. In some Shastras it says, in some places Indra is supreme, Agni is supreme, Durga is supreme, Shiva is supreme. There are different things in different Shastras. For the benefit of people who want to be bewildered. But when we come to the Akhila Shruti Saram, the essence of all the Shastras, which is compiled by Vyasadeva in his maturity, then we come to Srimad Bhagavatam. Even if Krishna is apparently defeated by a demon, that's only his pastime. Krishna ran away from Jarasandha. He absolutely defeated him 17 times. And 18th time he ran away. He ran away from this Kala. So it may appear that he is inferior. Jarasandha, when Krishna came with Arjuna and Bhima, disguised as brahmanas, then Jarasandha mocked them. He mocked them. They see you, you have to come in this trick way. You can't come openly to fight with me. You have to come in this tricky way. And Krishna, he said, I don't want to fight with him because he's just a boy. He's younger than me. And anyway, he's a sinful person because he killed his own uncle, killed his own relative. He didn't consider, because Kamsa was married to the daughters of Jarasandha. But Jarasandha didn't think how Kamsa himself had killed his nephews, the sons of Devaki. Prapti, what was the name of the other wife of Kamsa? I can't remember. It's called Prapti, and the other one I don't remember. So, anything else there? In one Purana, what's that? How? Vishnu and Brahma, the one went up and the other went down, and they couldn't find the top or the bottom of the Shiva Linga. Vishnu went down as Varaha. They couldn't find the limits. It may be. That's just supposed to show how Shiva is supreme to both of them. But if Shiva appears to be superior sometimes to Vishnu, that's only by his mercy, by Vishnu's mercy. That's why we have to take the version of Bhagavatam. Only Bhagavatam says, Saravetetihasanam saram saram hiudaharitam. This is the essence of the essence of all these Shastras. Akhila Shruti Saram. It is the essence of all the Vedas. Adhyatma Deepam. It gives spiritual light. And it's the only one is that Adhyatma Deepam Ati Titirshitam Tamondam. It's the only one the only Shastra which can take us out of the darkness of ignorance. We cannot understand Krishna, we cannot conquer Krishna by knowledge. We cannot conquer Krishna by knowledge. We should hear about Krishna. That is just bhavadiyavartam, sanmukharitam. We should hear from devotees about Krishna. And we should learn from devotees how Krishna is not attainable by any material means, but one should learn about Krishna with an attitude of submission to him. Not with a mood that by my studying I will become, by my own endeavor I shall become advanced. We should hear Shastra, study Shastra, and pray for the mercy to understand it. So study is not... By study we can understand Krishna if we have the attitude that it's by his mercy that will help us to understand Krishna, not just by study alone. It may be that someone has got very deep knowledge of Shastra and is trying to be a devotee, but they may not be as dear to Krishna, which means they may not be as advanced as someone who doesn't have much Shastric knowledge but has a very pure, unmotivated attitude of service to Krishna. So we're going to finish now. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One more question is just now coming. Who is that? Last moment.
The demigods know that they are never equal or not more than Krishna.
The demigods know that they're not equal to or more than Krishna. Why aren't they bhaktis to Krishna? They are bhaktis to Krishna. Can we treat them as gurus? We can treat any bhakta as guru to the extent that they are suitable for that. Jaha hoite Krishna bhakti shei guru hoi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, from whom you get Krishna bhakti is a guru. The demigods, they're generally sakama bhaktas. They're devotees, but they are cultivating simultaneously material desires. So, Krishna prema is different to kam. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, Krishna indriya priti icha dhare prema na. As much as we have material desires, that much we're away from Krishna. So, demigods are devotees, but mostly they're not pure devotees. Or even if they are pure devotees, they're acting in a role to reciprocate with materialistic people in a materialistic way. So we don't worship demigods. We offer them respect as pious living beings who have a role in Krishna's creation. But we don't worship them. We don't worship them individually. By worship of the Guru, then Sarva Deva Mayo Guruhu, Acharya Upasanam. By worship of the Guru, all the demigods are worshipped. By worship of Krishna, all the demigods are worshipped. What's that verse? How does that begin? Prano Paharaj, this is the second verse. Second. Yata turor mula nishayuchayena tripyanti tatskandam pujo pasharkaha prano paharaj cha yatindriyanam tataiva savarhanam atyuteja. Just as by watering the root of a tree, all the branches, twigs, leaves, flowers and fruits are nourished. And just by supplying food to the stomach, the whole body is nourished. In the same way, by worshipping Achyuta, Krishna, who is the root of all existence, all the demigods, everything else is done. All the demigods, everyone else is worshipped automatically. Always some people will try to find some way to take the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and twist it a little bit so they can get their material desires fulfilled in the name of bhakti. Everyone's very expert at that. There may be 1,000 times Prabhupada says you should chant 16 rounds, and one devotee gives them an exception and they'll take that exception. This is called insincerity. Hare Krishna. Okay, it's the better late than never.